Civilians are being evacuated from the last village in Syria held by ISIS. Journalists there say vehicles are carrying men, women, and children out of Baghouz today. The U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces have surrounded the village and have said they plan to attack the ISIS fighters there once they know the civilians are gone. Joining us now is Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh, who's with MIT's Security Studies Program. Hi, Jim.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
So if ISIS is defeated in this village, does that mean that they've been defeated in Syria?
Well, I would say essentially yes. But in the national security world, we don't have good terms for that would describe a situation that's between totally defeated and active threat. Mm-hmm. And so here's a terror group that once controlled large pieces of Iraq and Syria, have lost all of that, whose foreign fighters have stopped coming, who are losing the propaganda war in part because they don't have a caliphate anymore. It's hard to sell a caliphate if you don't have a caliphate. So they are back on their heels. Now, does that mean they're suddenly going to disappear? No. They'll, you know, once this final battle is fought, presumably some of the fighters will retire. Some will and go on to a different way of life. Some will have been killed, and then others will continue, and they will most likely form what would be a smaller but lethal terror group to execute terror attacks in the region.
And we'll talk about what kind of capacity that they will have after this. But what about for the U.S.? President Trump has talked about withdrawing U.S. troops from Syria. He's backed away from that a little bit. But do you think that if they do defeat them from this village,
yes,
and therefore Syria in general, is it a good idea for the U.S. to draw down?
I do think it's a good idea. I was never a fan of going in the first place. Now, people say, well, ISIS will still be there. Well, you know who else is still there? Assad, who would love nothing more than to kill lots of ISIS, and Russia, who would like to kill lots of ISIS, and Iran, who would like to kill lots of ISIS. So I don't think there's any lack of a market for people who want to get rid of ISIS. The question I always wondered about was, well, why are we doing it when others would gladly do it and when it would really not advance any broader strategic objective?
What about the capability that ISIS will have to launch attacks even if they don't have a caliphate, even if they don't have land in the Middle East that they control? Will they focus more efforts, those who are left, in trying to attack the West?
Well, I certainly think that they'll evolve into more a more pure type of a terror group. The terror is a weapon of the weak. They will be in a weakened position. Now, the question is, will they focus those attacks in the region where they had hoped to build the caliphate, or will they, like al-Qaeda did in its original form, go overseas? We don't know the answer to that question. I would think it would be more local in focus. That's where they started out. Plus, their capabilities will be diminished. They don't have a lot of experience carrying out sort of complex terror operations on foreign soils. Mm-hmm. They get the lone wolf and this sort of thing, but that's not been their style. So it's certainly conceivable. But if you're ISIS, you might be equally angry or more angry with Russia or Syria than you are with the U.S. So when everyone hates you, you know you have to choose some priorities who you're going to attack. So I'm not prepared to say they're going to go from having a caliphate to attacking the U.S. I think there are a lot of steps in between.
One more question, Jim. We've been talking about Venezuela. The opposition leader Juan Guaido has been recognized by the U.S. as the president of Venezuela. But Nicolas Maduro, the elected president, still holds on there. He's blocking aid from coming into the country. Are you concerned as you look at all this that the U.S. is pushing too much for regime change in Venezuela and perhaps not thinking about the consequences of being the country behind that?
Well, it's certainly a messy affair, and I think outsiders should be cautious. The U.S. should always be cautious when it meddles in the internal affairs of other countries. Now, sometimes you have to do that. If there's a genocide or something happening, you know, there are going to be choices that have to be made. But it's fraught with risk. If we are seen as the country that pushed out the current leadership, which is autocratic and awful, by the way, if the U.S. is seen as having pushed them out, will we be held responsible? Will we be blamed if it goes poorly? Will we have to put people there and spend money on a brand new project that will last years and years and years and years and years and years, in which at the end everyone will still be unhappy with us? I think these are all, you know, it can be a sticky mess, and we should be careful about how we handle it.
interesting also that the people who are being most hawkish in the U.S. on Venezuela are some of the same people who were pushing the Iraq War. Elliot Abrams, the envoy to Venezuela right now. John Bolton, obviously.
Yes. I mean, these are neoconservative true believers who believe in the U.S. should actively use its military power and other forms of coercion to go and remake the world in our own image. And that's how we ended up in Iraq. So I'm sure those voices are very much advocating a muscular response to Maduro and the Venezuelan situation. But this thing is a mess. I mean, this economy is completely tanking. A lot of things can go wrong here. And Maduro still has control of the police and the military. So I think we've recognized the opposition government. We should continue to try to support them. But I don't know that we should be banging away in the press every day and making threats. I'm not sure that's a very wise move.
That's Jim Walsh, Here and Now security analyst with MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you.